Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. It's time.
Sun Guy and Rex, the only show where two total dudes review one total diva show and delight the entire world. I am not the normal one half of those aforementioned dudes. I am not the top hunk of pop punk and the brains behind America's favorite wrestling-themed Ramones core pop punk band, the Razor Ramones. I am not Rex Razor Sharp. I am, joining him as always, on this arduous journey of a nightmare, the host of Sign Guy's Wrestling Show, the host of Turnbuckle Turmoil, the host of The Sign of the Times. I am the iced tea to his lemonade, so Arnold Palmer would probably drink us. And please welcome to the show the genius, known only as Sign Guy. Sign Guy, how am I doing, brother? Not too badly this week, not too badly. Not too badly, eh? So, what's the scuttlebutt around the old water cooler? Well, I understand that Rex happens to be right now on assignment still trying to land that marshmallow sponsorship deal, which gives me this challenging dual role of being both myself and Rex Razor Sharp for a single episode. Now, let me ask you, this marshmallow sponsorship deal that Rex is trying to get, will he be able to get all of the marshmallows that he can possibly eat as part of this deal? That part is unconfirmed. I don't know, but he loves marshmallows. He does indeed love marshmallows and beer. Now, if someone were to take marshmallows and put them into beer, they would be able to be financially solvent for as long as they wanted based on the sales strictly to Rex Razor Sharp. and the rest of the Razor Ramones. Why doesn't someone make marshmallow beer? It's Rex's only dream in life. I cannot answer that. I do not know. So, is anything else being scuttle-butted around the old water cooler this week? Well, interestingly enough, there was a sighting of Will Huckabee's jersey in the Pacific Northwest. Really? Oh, yeah. Well, where in the Pacific Northwest was Will Huckabee's jersey? Well, as you know, Huckabee's jersey has been taken all over the map by the gift Jason Kincaid. It was spotted in Wyoming. It was spotted in South Dakota. Saturday, it was spotted in Seattle. It even made an appearance at my place. Even here. Huck's jersey stayed with me. Whoa, that's really amazing. I can't believe that. Also, Rex loves marshmallows. Both of those statements are entirely accurate. Very accurate. But yeah, it made its way down into Portland for NWA Blue Collar Wrestling. I tried to lobby to get Huck's jersey in as part of the match, make it a four corners match, but I was unsuccessful in that bid, although it would have been absolutely amazing. Very true, very true. So, this final deletion happened there on Pop TV. It was Hardy versus Hardy. They were fighting over the very name Hardy. I loved it because I hated it so much, because it's the only thing that I love despite having hated every second of it. Your thoughts? Well, myself as Rex, I did see the final deletion. Completely different than anything you ever saw ever on Pop TV. Vince Russo, I believe, thought it was the greatest thing he had ever seen in his entire life. He might have drank marshmallow-flavored beer while watching that, pretending he was part of the Razor Ramones. I don't know. I'm sure it was the greatest night of Vince Russo's life. Lots of people talking about it. I think it was successful as a promotional ploy, because lots of people talking about that probably spiked the ratings. There's already pro wrestling tees, t-shirts out based solely from that match last night. Entire line of clothing produced based on the goings-on there on Impact Wrestling from last night's episode. It wasn't even a Hardy. It wasn't even Maxwell Hardy. It was, in fact, the Gardener. Yes, Senor Benjamin, with his own line of t-shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com. Rex, if you were here, you would talk about how you love ProWrestlingTees.com. It's the only website I ever go to. I buy 3, 4, 5, 6 a week. Love Pro Wrestling Tees because I hate them so very much. Despise them. I would never wear a wrestling shirt because I love them and wear them every day. Huh. Very interesting, Rex. Very interesting. Now, any other thoughts on the final deletion? Yeah. Now, I love marshmallows. Yes, go on. There were no marshmallows involved in this thing. That's mainly why I hated it, but also why I loved it, because I hated it. And I love to hate things, thus, I hate everything I love and love everything I hate. I see, go on. It was the only match that ever mattered to me in my entire life. Ever. Ever. Every other match didn't matter. Especially every match that I ever saw that I said mattered, because I loved them all, because I hated them. This one, the only match that has ever mattered in my life. I wept at its sheer brilliance. Wept. Right into my marshmallows, which made me weep more because my marshmallows were soggy and not crisp. I like them crisp. Huh. All right, very, very fascinating. All right. Well, sign guy, I don't think I've mentioned this, but I love marshmallows. Also, beer. So, with all that said, I think it's time that you hit that music. This is the segment in the show where we take a scene from the episode of Total Divas we watched, we transcribe said scene, and then we recreate it for you, the listener, at no additional cost. Now, tonight's episode will be Sign Guy portraying Rex Razor Sharp portraying Rosa Mendez, while I shall be portraying Natty Neidhart. And sing. So what was last night all about?
Last night?
Yeah?
What do you mean?
It was weird.
I was just having fun. I'm like way more into guys, but I have been with the girls before.
I don't feel like I know nothing about you.
Well, the thing is that it's been a while since I kissed anybody, honestly. I get, like, emotionally attached to guys when I'm intimate. I'm scared. Like, I'm scared from past experiences. I'm freaked out now. Of guys, you know. I associate love with pain, Natty. Anytime I've fallen in love, I've been hurt. Girls are just easier. I'm, like, scared of men. Like, freaked out by men because I'm scared of a relapse.
You aren't leading a good life, and it's because you are hiding something, trying to fill a void. I have people in my family that have had substance abuse. What I've witnessed is with people that have that problem is they're filling some kind of void. There's an emptiness inside that can't be filled, so they're just trying to numb themselves. They're just trying to get through the day, and it's a downward spiral. I think the most important thing in life is the human connection, and it's more important than championships. It's more important than money. If you enjoy kissing that girl, then so be it. If it makes you happy, you have a little glow about you.
I do feel good. I'm going to call her.
If it makes her feel good, makes you feel good, then go get your rocks off together.
Ha ha ha. She is pretty hot, huh?
Good. She does have a pretty good set of breasts on her.
And her butt's really perky.
And sing. Sign guy, what was this? This was a scene from the episode we watched that concluded the episode. In it, Natty was very concerned and confused on the going-ons from the night before, where Rosa Mendez had taken the seemingly unknowing Natty to a lesbian bar and started making out with some broad right in front of Natty. Well, Natty wanted an explanation as to what was happening, and Rosa just threw it out there that she's scared of men despite spending the entire episode dating a minimum of 3 men. And then later going on to spend the entire most recent season involved with a man. Totally contradicted herself. Now, Rex, I know you hate people that contradict yourself. I do. I hate them. But I love marshmallows and beer. I know that. So, this broad, this Rosa Mendez, got into a contradiction contest with Natty. She's saying how she's scared of men, can't stand men, wants to date broads now, had previously tried to force herself on Natty. Now she's making out at lesbian bars in front of Natty, trying to entice her, despite the fact she will later go on to be married to a man, apparently. But then Natty tells her that she thinks that human relationships is the most important thing in life, more important than championships, despite the fact earlier this season she went to Mark Carano and demanded in exchange for a human companionship with Rosa to protect her from the evils of the road, she be granted a title match, which seems to contradict her theory that it's more important than championships because she demanded a championship match in exchange for giving Rosa human companionship on the road. Very interesting. That is very interesting, an extremely good point, one that I would have figured out in between bites of marshmallows. Oh, thank you, Rex. Brother. So, Sign Guy, who did you hate this week? Well, first of all, I hated... Whoa, pause it. Well, I was just going to answer your question of who I... Whoa, pause it. But I wanted to just simply... Whoa, pause it. Okay, go ahead. Are you sure? Yeah, go ahead. Well, my number one most hated this week was... Whoa, pause it. I'm going to guess... Let's see if we can make this mental connection. You hated Natty Neidhart. That is indeed true, I did. Aha. All right, go ahead and tell us why. Well, first of all, this... Whoa, pause it. Okay, go ahead. First of all, this broad, they're at some sort of meal. It looked to be dinner, possibly a very early breakfast. All the broads are there, the Bellas, Eva Marie, Rosa. Natty's there. Natty waits until the food is served, and they're clearly beginning the meal. They've already started to eat. And Natty just jumps in with her pussycat's litter box habits, and is talking about how the pussycat went all over the place and it stank, and just going into this graphic detail of the litter box usage of her pussycat. All these broads were trying to eat, had no regard for them. She's like, oh, are you going to eat that? Okay, take a bite, and then I will tell you what comes out of my pussycat's rear end in graphic detail. Graphic detail. Then, later on, Rosa takes Natty to this lesbian bar, like we said. And when Rosa starts making out with this broad, and Rosa's looking at Natty, hinting that, oh, well, maybe Natty found a broad, too, because Natty is sitting there talking to some broad. And Natty just goes on this wild tangent about vitamins. Just couldn't stop talking about vitamins. No one had mentioned the vitamins at all. And Addie just keeps talking about vitamins like it was the only thing that mattered. Like vitamins were to Natty what marshmallows and beer is to Rex Razor Sharp. Just kept putting it in a conversation, Oh, we were talking about vitamins. I take a lot of vitamins. Love vitamins. Talked about vitamins. Yeah, it was all vitamins. We were talking about vitamins. I take vitamins all the time. You have to wonder what was in those vitamins. You really have to. Just got awkward there, really awkward. And then also, we saw the big lie that Natty admitted to in this most recent season when Natty was on the phone to poor old Ellie Neidhart, and she's asking poor old Ellie Neidhart how her pussycat is, and then says, oh, yeah, I'd like to cut his fur, but I'm waiting for Cat Fancy to call. They're going to do this huge spread on him. There was no spread. There was no Cat Fancy interest. But Natty lied to her mother to impress her mother because I guess she thought her mother would go to the tabloids and tell everyone that Cat Fancy was interested in her pussycats when in fact they were not. They were probably in the process of putting a cease and desist and restraining orders on Natty Neidhart for stalking them about this pussycat. Ellie Neidhart had no idea what was really happening until this most recent season, but when she found out she was for words, completely for words. And then, of course, the scene that we got where Natty contradicted herself and turned everything around. Rosa pouring her guts out to Natty, trying to explain why she felt the way she did, and trying to explain she was fearful of a relapse because Natty was whom the office assigned to keep Rosa from relapsing. Natty totally turned it around, made it about Natty. Like, oh, well, in my family, there's people that have substance abuse, and I do this, and this is what happens in my family. Wasn't about Rose anymore, and Natty just took it and made it her own. Made it her own. So, myself as Rex, whom did you most hate? This week, I couldn't stand... Whoa, pause it. Okay, go ahead. My number one this week was... Whoa, pause it. Okay, go ahead. I could not stand that... Whoa, pause it. Okay, tell us your number one. But first, I'm going to guess, was it perhaps a Bella? It was a Bella. Was it perhaps J.J. Bella? No. Was it perhaps Kathy Colas Bella? No. Was it maybe Brie Bella? Yes, yes. That narcissist, that dirtbag, that garbage can human being, that worst person that ever breathed a breath of air in the history of the planet Earth, the only woman that I've ever loved in my life, Brie Bella. All right, go ahead and explain. This broad, so out of control with her spending thousands of dollars to go down to Mexico for the purpose of spending thousands of dollars to shop for her home, which is nowhere near Mexico. It so rattled her husband that he went to the bank and begged them to send him alerts anytime his wife spent more than a quarter. So the whole episode, this broad gets phone calls from her husband, and he's like, what's going on? Why are you spending all this? Because he's fearful every dime he saved so carefully in his life going to be spent in a matter of a couple of weeks by this broad. She's out of control. And this broad just kept wanting to spend, despite the fact that just a few episodes ago, she cried and cried how they were so broke and they needed John Cena's money because they didn't have enough money to live on and they didn't earn any income whatsoever. So this broad goes to Mexico, spent untold amount of money to get down there, the fanciest hotel rooms, the room service, the bar service at the pool, all of that, spending it on, that trip, and then spent the whole time while she's at this hotel buying stuff for the house. Oh, I want to buy this. Oh, I want to buy this. Oh, I want to buy this. She could have just stayed at home and bought all that stuff. It would have saved a fortune, probably. Would have saved a fortune. But no, she had to take an expensive vacation in order to do huge amounts of shopping, spending the money that she claimed she didn't have because John Cena wouldn't give him a loan of hundreds of thousands of dollars. And then this broad is going to go down the red carpet. She's got a closet full of clothes. Her husband's begging her, use some of these really expensive dresses that you've never worn in your life that no one has ever seen you wear. And she's like, nope, need a $3,000 dress. Gotta have a $3,000 dress. And then she tries to shame him. Oh, I had my sister buy the dress for me because you won't buy me things because you're a horrible human being because you want to save your hard-earned money that you wrecked your entire body to earn. How horrible you are not spending it on an outfit I'll wear for 4 to 5 hours and then throw in the garbage. What's wrong with you, she said. All right. Anything else on Brie Bella? Yes, they start off with the broder in the hall talking about the home invasion where someone tried to rob the home of Brian and Brie. And Brie saying, oh yeah, this guy shut the door really quick when he pulled up. So Brian went running after him. And then I ran. And then Brian ran out the back door, so I had to scream at the top of my lungs, Brian, I have Josie. Like, he was going to stop and say, oh, okay, let's play with the dog. Play with the dog while this guy's running out with the organic can opener that TJ Wilson got me because he didn't know what to get for a wedding gift. Burglar's got her stuff, but let's play with the dog because you're in the mood to play with the dog during a home invasion. What kind of broad would stop to think that? What kind of broad says, oh, my husband could be shot or stabbed or hit with a chain, but instead let's play with the dog. I'm sure the burglar will stop everything and wait until we're done playing with the dog, and then they can resume their chase. Because he's not just seriously burglarizing our home. He's just playing around. It's time to play with Josie. Who does that? Except the garbage can worst, dirt level, horrible human narcissist that is Brie Bella. And also, I love marshmallows. Okay, all right. So, number two on my list, I had Brian. Oh, I'm not going to like this, even though it's the best thing that's ever happened in my life. Go ahead. You're sure this time? Yeah. Go ahead. No, you're not going to interrupt me here. No, I'd never do that. Never in my life. Okay, go ahead. All right. The reason I hated Brian was that... Whoa, pause it. I love marshmallows. Okay, go ahead. Well, Brian this week, so unnerved, so rattled, so caught off guard by his wife going to Mexico in order to shop and fill their home with things they can't afford because she said they were destitute, needed John Cena's money, and then she's just blowing through everything they had saved. There is no bed and breakfast, no garden to support themselves. It's all going to furniture and the dresses that she'll wear for 15 minutes before throwing in the garbage. Now, I can understand he's rattled, but he goes to the extreme. He goes to the bank and he says, if my wife spends anything at all, I want an immediate alert on my phone so I can call and embarrass her in front of anyone that happens to be around. So he keeps calling her. Oh, you spent $20 at a coffee shop. Explain the $20. Why was it so expensive? This and that. Wanted to know, like, every itemized thing that she spent. calling her at the dollar store. You spent a dollar at some place called the dollar store. Explain this to me. I don't understand it. And then they're going to this red carpet thing. And Nikki bought the dress for her sister, which I'm sure, you know, she eventually had to repay. O'Brien already bought a $3,000 dress. But it's a red carpet event that the WWE got for them. Obviously, it's a big deal for the company. He's just going to throw on whatever T-shirt and jeans he had in his closet and just go. It's like, just a red carpet deal for the ESPY Awards or whatever awards, People Choice, Teen Choice, whatever awards, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. He's just going to show up looking like some guy in the crowd. He can't go to a WWE show looking like that because they have a casual dress policy. But he figured, it's a red carpet. I'll dress way down from what I normally do for WWE. I actually thought that was reasonable and something that would be allowed to happen. Can't understand what he was thinking there. Can't understand it. And, of course, they didn't show the home invasion, but I can imagine Brian stopping and having a conversation with Bree. Bree, I can't stop and play with Josie. I got to stop this home intruder. She's like, I said play with Josie. And he's like, well, I can't. She's like, Josie wants to lick your nose. And then Brian, okay. And then the dog just licking his nose for 10 minutes, and then he has to run three times as hard to catch up to the burglar and then put him in that rear naked choke they talked about. I can completely imagine that. Hi, Rex. So, whom else did you hate? I hated everybody. Everybody in the show. Everyone that's affiliated with the show. Every cameraman, every sound guy, every prop guy, everyone that's ever appeared. All of them. They're pretty much tied. Okay. Anyone else you hated? Or can I go and eat more marshmallows? Well, number three on my list, I had Eva. Oh, do tell. Well, Eva, she had this idea because she had to move cross-country from Florida to California. Ariane had a couple of boxes to move. So Eva's like, why don't we make a giant road trip? And we have to be at California in 4 days, so we'll all play around except for my husband, who will have to try to get us there in the 4 days despite the fact that we're messing around and not taking things seriously, and it'll constantly be late, and it'll cause him to nearly stroke out. And so Ariane's like, sure, and I'll bring Vinny because that'll make things so much better. So he's like, all right. And Eva says, sure, bring him. And then they go to get the U-Haul. Eva's like, I've never driven the trailer before. Doesn't ask for instructions or doesn't ask for Ariane to drive if Ariane is more experienced driving the trailer or anything. Just gets in there. And it set the tone for the whole trip because she's just driving recklessly with this trailer. Driving up on the curves, slamming into things. Ariane's trying to stand up on the hitch. Worst idea she ever had. But there's Eva just laughing at all of it. Laughing at all of it. Thought it was completely funny that Ariane could easily fall off and be ran over by this trailer. Completely oblivious. And then Eva spends, at some point, some time with the rest of the broads and makes things at the dinner a little bit tense because she's telling Bree, oh yeah, that's completely nuts about Brian. He can't tell you how to spend money and you don't have to report to him, and he shouldn't be doing this. That's creepy. Says the woman who has a husbander, whom once went to Mark Carano and told Mark Carano that Eva was off the tour for a few days. She went livid. But there she is telling Bree how unacceptable it is. Like it never happened to her. Yeah. Completely contradicted herself. And then they're on this road trip. They left everything of importance to Jonathan to do. Now, Vinny, he's probably got all the time in the world. He's probably got weeks he can spend. Ariane at that point probably had a couple weeks because she wasn't full-time on the road by any means at that point in time. They were sparingly using her at that point. Eva Marie probably just needed to get there whenever. Wasn't a tight time frame, but Jonathan had set time frame. He had to be in California. Had to be in California set time. He planned it, organized it, and they just mock him the whole time. Oh, ha, ha, he's so stressed out. Ha, ha, ha. We're 3 days behind schedule. Ha, 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 ha. And Jonathan's getting upset. Ha, 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 ha. And then, but at the same time, she's like, well, get us there on time, but we're going to not do anything to facilitate that for you. Just making a mockery of it to the point that eventually they had to cancel the move. They had to have everything shipped, including Ariane and Vinny stuff, and then buy all of them airline tickets to get to where they were going. Because in the 2 or 3 days they had left Florida, they'd gotten to Louisiana. That was all. Hadn't gotten past Louisiana. So they were like a week or so off schedule from what I could gather. Horrible, horrible planning. All right, so Sinai, who was it you liked this episode? Well, I'll tell you, myself as Rex Razor Sharp. Number three, I had Stephanie McMahon. Whoa, pause it, pause it, pause it. Whoa, pause it, pause it, pause it. Okay, go ahead. Well, in this episode, she... Whoa, pause it, pause it, pause it. I like beer. Okay, go ahead. All right. Well, Stephanie, this episode, made a random appearance, and she told the broads that the company was going to work with the Susan G. Komen Foundation and explain how this was a great benefit to the company. All this good was going to come from the working relationship between the Susan G. Komen Foundation and WWE. And then she basically told the broads, hey, get a mammogram. It's not that bad. It'll be all right. And then Natty made it awkward by saying, it's better than landing a drop kick. And everyone looked at Natty like, that's the oddest thing you've said in a while, since at least the last scene. And they all looked back at Stephanie McMahon, and she just blew it all, just kept going, didn't sell it. Just like, well, that's Natty being Natty. I'll just keep going. Well, try to act like it didn't happen, so maybe this person from the Susan G. Komen Foundation won't pick up on the fact that Natty just said something really bizarre for no reason. Way to recover, I thought. Way to recover. All right, Rex, who did you like on this episode? Marshmallows. Interesting choice. Were there marshmallows in this episode?
No.
I just love marshmallows. Okay. My number two this week, Jonathan Coyle. Now, Jonathan is... Whoa, pause it. He didn't need anything. I refuse to accept this is a valid answer because he did not eat anything. Not a steak, not a pork chop, not a Caesar salad, not a bag of marshmallows, nothing. He ate nothing. I refuse to accept this. I have my reasons here. I don't care. They're not valid reasons. He didn't eat anything. Stricken from the record. Granted, he didn't eat anything, but they alluded to the fact that they did eat at a gas station. But they didn't even show it on TV. It doesn't count. Like, it does so count, because Vinny alluded to it, because it made him ill, eating at the gas station. And Jonathan refused to stop for meals at that point because they were so far behind schedule. He was just trying to help out Eva Marie. He probably never wanted Vinny and Ariane on this trip at all. He knew they were on a tight, tight schedule, and as such, it was going to be close getting there on time. And there's Ariane and Vinny. He knew Ariane and Vinny were just going to be screwing around and playing, not taking things seriously at all. And he knew if they were doing that, his wife would join in. And then all three of them would just be playing around, screwing around the whole trip. And they'd be so far off schedule, there was no way he could get to California on time. The man tried. He tried his best. They wanted to throw boxes off the balcony. They wanted to throw the mattress off the balcony. They weren't prepared to move. Not prepared at all. They were talking about how Vinny was so late, but yet hadn't loaded the truck. Poor Jonathan, probably going insane at that point. He probably wanted to throw Ariane off the balcony, but kept his calm, kept his composure. Didn't throw Ariane or Eva off the balcony, despite the fact I'm sure he wanted to at that point in time. And when Ariane gets them the one hotel room that they can find in Alabama, Jonathan Coyle pulls up to this place at 3 a.m. Now, at 3 a.m., not a lot of people going to be checking into hotels at 3 a.m. It's not your standard check-in time. This isn't your standard hotel because it looks to be a converted home. And as Jonathan Coyle described it, they were in Scooby-Doo. It looked like a place where the Mystery Machine Gang would have to solve why there was an apparent ghost running around this converted mansion that is now a hotel that no one would stay in because of the ghost. And then they would discover it was actually the bellhop pretending to be a ghost. Jonathan Coyle had to go all through that. And they get in the room. There's one bed. And they're like, huh, everyone will just sleep on this one bed, end to end. Jonathan Coyle didn't throw a fit, didn't mind. He just went with it. Just went with it. And then after he threw this, like, tantrum a bit, got into an argument with Eva, he had the good presence of mind to apologize to Ariane and Vinny for causing them to get into an argument. See, he led the thing off. It escalated. Everyone was arguing at that point. He apologized. He atoned for it. So good on Jonathan this week. All right, myself is Rex. Who is your number one? Number one, Vinny. I love Vinny. Vinny's the only guy I've ever loved in my entire life. There he was drinking a coffee. I was wondering, what type of coffee do you think it was that Vinny and Ariane were enjoying on that fateful morning on the porch in the rocking chair at the Scooby-Doo Hotel? I'm going to say it was probably some really cheap in-the-room coffee that was complimentary. I'm going to say it was probably a Maxwell House. It was probably horrid coffee. Probably not worth drinking, but they were drinking it because Vinny wouldn't complain. He would just drink it anyway. That's why I love Vinny. I love Vinny more than I love marshmallows. And I love marshmallows and beer and Vinny. If there was a Vinny-flavored marshmallow beer, I would drink it. I would love it because it's the only thing I would ever hate. Okay, fair enough. Now, my number one this week was the host at the restaurant. I don't remember a host being there. You were busy eating marshmallows, probably. But when Rosa went on the second date with this guy that she'd met on Instagram, there's a host that for a second, I thought, why is Darren Young there? And then I realized it wasn't Darren Young. It was just some host at a restaurant looking exactly like Darren Young, escorting Rosa over to her table. And he had this look on his face once they got to the table that screamed, this is going to end badly. It's not going to be a good day here at this restaurant. Some weird stuff's going to go down. And weird stuff did go down, but that host never came over and threw Rose out. Kept some level of composure, made the best of a bad situation, just stood there like he was Darren Young, let things go. Rosa trying to feed this guy like a baby. Like, can I feed you like a baby? Can I feel your abs for no reason? Can I, like, make really inappropriate comments on this date since we've met literally 3 seconds ago while this guy that looks like Darren Young stood here in shocked horror? That was all going on. The host, he just let it go, kept doing his job, escorting people to their tables. That's all he was concerned with at that point. He knew it was a bad situation there. He probably was trying to think of a way to get the guy out of the restaurant, but he knew it was too late. Well, all right. Anyone else we didn't cover yet in this episode? Several. All of them were horrible. Every single one of them horrible. Horrible. Everything from Ariane screwing around the whole time they were trying to move, like they had weeks to get from point A to point B, and they could stop at every single tourist attraction and take selfies and run around and play. Summer Rae went on a date with the guy that Rosa went on a date with last week. They were starting to set that up last week. This week, Rosa confronted her. She's like, hey, wasn't this guy with me the other day? And now he's with Summer, that can't be right. So she pulled Summer aside, demanded an explanation, and then Summer, doing her best Rex Razor Sharp, said, whoa, pause, and said, well, I didn't think it was so bad because he hates you. Knew it was bad, but it wasn't so bad because the guy didn't like Rosa. So she just threw that in Rosa's face. Oh, yeah, he doesn't like you. So I figured, you know, I'll save him from you. And she thought that would make Rosa feel better, which it didn't. It didn't make her feel better a little bit. Kind of a low blow there by Summer. And then this other guy Rosa went on a date with, he was, I believe, 23, so he had to have been 10-ish years younger than Rosa. Rosa keeps saying how mature the guy is, and the guy says, I brought you to a trampoline bounce castle, and we're eating frozen yogurt for lunch, and you think I'm mature? And the guy's like, well, this broad's crazy. I think I'll just skip on out, see if anyone wants to go to the McDonald's playpen. He wanted to go see what was going on at the nearby park to see if anyone wanted to go swinging or go down the slide. Anything to get away from Rosa, apparently. Anything at all. Yeah, they were all terrible. Every last one of them. Well, and especially Nikki. Nikki, this episode, her sister paid for the meal for Kathy Colas' birthday. $400 for four people to eat. There were four of them. The bill was at $400. Her husband calls to find out why $400 was charged at a single restaurant. He thought, maybe there's something wrong. Maybe it's an error. She didn't know what the conversation was, so had no idea. But there she is, honking the horn, yelling at her sister to get in the car, and screaming at her. If she was on the phone with John Cena, she would have just stood there for as long as it took to finish the conversation, but Bree's on the phone. He's just screaming at her and honking the horn like a woman possessed. Didn't care that it was her sister's husband she's on the phone with. It could have been anyone. It could have been Mark Carano. Could have been the President of the United States calling to ask why Jonathan Coyle was bugging him about Eva Marie, but nope. Didn't care. Just making Nikki late to get to some place to drink. She's like, I haven't drank in over 2 minutes since I left this bar. I need to get to a place with alcohol. It's an emergency. Horrible. Horrible. Huh. Okay. Well, Sangai, does that pretty much do it for this week? I think we covered the bulk of it here, I would say. All right. So, what have you got going on this week? Well, myself as Rex, this week on Sangai's Wrestling Show, we have Moondog Fifi. Huh. Okay. Okay. Yes, Moondog Fifi will be on. And then Sunday on Turnbuckle, we have Lance Hoyt, formerly of TNA, formerly of WWE, currently of New Japan. All right. Well, this week, I'm going to eat marshmallows. So I love marshmallows and beer. I'm going to try to find a beer company to make a marshmallow beer, even though I hate marshmallows and beer, but they're the only things I love because I hate them, which is why I love them. All right. Join us next week for 12 Dudes, Missing Iron Rex. Maybe. We'll see. Later.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex. Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex.